This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
I love what God is doing in His church today. I love coming together like this, experiencing the breadth and just the wealth of the kingdom. You know, this brings God a smile. I remember in 1993, my very first experience at a stadium in Boulder, Colorado, at a Promise Keepers event. John, you were there. I just wept at seeing men. It was just the guys, right? Men from every corner of the country coming together. Methodists, Lutherans, Baptists, Pentecostals, Charismatics. Some were raising their hands. Some were sitting on their hands. It didn't matter because we all came together under one banner. The banner of Jesus. And yet, as a pastor now, I see things in the body of Christ that I'll be real honest with you. Can we just be honest tonight? There are things that weigh on my spirit. And there are things that we wish were one way, and if we could just be honest that, you know, I like to say this, all right? I'm not a negative guy. I'm a critical thinker. I don't see the glass half empty, but I say it could be fuller, right? It could be fuller. And one of the things that really prompted me that this was an important thing to do tonight was, and I'm sure many of you have heard about it, but we've had a pastor in our city in the last month who was a friend of ours and has been to our pastor's fellowship and hosted it. Just crashed and burned really hard. And I don't even want to give you any detail. If you don't know the story, it doesn't matter. The details don't matter. What matters is we have another man, another leader in the kingdom that has fallen. When I worked at Focus on the Family, the statistic we quoted then was 2,000 pastors every month leaving their post due to stress, burnout, failure of their own, sometimes not. Sometimes they were chased out, right? But the end result is always the same, a body left bruised and broken. And boy, we had a prayer time that night, and I just wept for the body. I could almost hear the crying of the sheep. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Tonight we have shepherds among us. If you're a pastor of a local church, would you stand to your feet? Let us recognize you. Thank you. John can testify to this, that long before I was a pastor, my message to churches was, love your pastor, support your pastor, pray for your pastor. They are a target. Because when you strike that shepherd, it affects the entire flock. And it's time that we quit talking about and gossiping about and cutting down other believers and other leaders and say instead, oh God, have mercy on us. We need you. We are desperate for you in this hour. And I felt like tonight one of the purposes was we needed to get together, not to circle the wagons. That sounds like a defensive posture. We're on offense, not on defense here, right? But we do have to support and encourage one another. And a man who's been doing that for not much longer than me, but a little bit, is my pastor. John Brown is the man that is responsible for my wife coming into the kingdom. So I'll always be grateful for that. Krista was saved in his youth group in Gower, Missouri. John and I met while we were working in radio together. John went on to host a citywide prayer radio program here in the city and now pastors Harmony Vineyard in Kansas City, where not only is he a leader in his own congregation of close to 1,000 people, but also a leader of the citywide prayer movement in Kansas City, as well as one of the directors of the Midwest Ministers Fellowship. He's my pastor, and I just asked John to come tonight to be with us and to kind of serve as a papa over this gathering. So would you welcome Pastor John Brown? And what I'd like for the worship team, you guys want to come on up while John's preparing us to pray. Here's kind of the way we do our sanctuary prayer nights, and so if you don't mind, we'll use the same format. The worship team will be here, and they'll be leading us in worship. But this is open mic, which is always kind of scary, right? So just be mindful of who's here, if you would. Just be be thoughtful, because there's a lot of folks who might have something they need to pray. But what I felt like was, this isn't just for the pastors to pray tonight. This is for the body. So I'm going to be sitting right here by my sister in this corner, and I'll have the mic after John's finished. And if you have something on your heart you'd like to pray, by all means, feel permission to step forward and lead this body in prayer. John, anything that'll work?
Yeah, I'd like a couple things to share with you, if I might. Number one, I'm just thrilled to be in a building that's older than I am. What a cool deal, right? No, seriously, that doesn't happen as much as I like for it too. I just felt like we probably need to brag on God a little bit tonight. The dancers were wonderful, by the way. That was very, very good. As I watched them, I was mindful how I have grandkids now that play soccer, and you go out in the rain and it's cold and that kind of stuff to watch kids run around and kick it, you know, and they're kicking this multicolored ball trying to push it in a goal. And I want to tell you, by the word of the Lord, it's a multicolored ball in the goal that is God's plan. And it's not, folks aren't supposed to everybody look just like me. You know what I'm saying? The idea is, and he loves it when people are running around and kicking it in his name, like the ladies did here tonight. I love it when I watch my kids. I've got a little girl that's the best player on a boys' soccer team. It is so bad. And they hate her in practice, but they love her in the game because she kicks the ball in the goal. And you're going, well, that's my kid. You think the Lord didn't point down tonight and saying, those are my children? Those are my girls? You know, it's really true. I'm telling you, that's the way it is, because that's what he's like. And we've been seeing some things happen in Kansas City. I've been the vice president of the citywide prayer movement for 20 years or longer in Kansas City. I had the privilege of being on the leadership team of this thing called Midwest Ministers Fellowship, which is another 250 churches or something in a 4 or 5 state region that we just come along aside a person and try to have that man, that vision that he was given, be a success in his location. That's what we do. That's what we're like. It's just a come alongside, put your arm around type of deal. And one of the things we do is adjudicate church problems. In other words, if a church is having trouble, maybe is about to split. How many have been through a church split? Oh, yeah. We ought to take an offering right now, because what would you pay not to go through another church split? No, seriously. We've done, I don't know how many dozens of these, only seen one church split. Now, it was bad enough to wreck all the good ones, if you know what I mean. It was bad. But to see the body of Christ not be fissured in so many places, it's a wonderful thing. It's really a wonderful thing. God's trying to awaken us to the fact of how badly we need him, but how badly we need each other. We really do need each other. We're lacking a lot of things. Do you know in the New Testament, when Paul or Peter or James is writing to a church, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus, for example, or the church in Corinth, and he's writing there to the leaders, there's only one church in Ephesus when he's writing? One. Count them. One. I remember having a guy from a foreign country here in the States, and we drove around. He was just so blessed that there were so many churches on so many church corners. I didn't have the heart to tell him that all of those weren't a good idea. You know, like, see that big church? Well, that's where those 11 other ones came from. I mean, that's sad but true, and it's okay if it's planned, but when it's not planned, it's not good. Listen, if the Lord sees the church, one church in the city, guess how many churches there are in the city? One. There's lots of expressions. There were lots of expressions in it. They met in the temple and house to house. There were lots of distinct assemblies and expressions of the leadership of God in that day. But you know what? There were in that day apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they were all in the city, but weren't all in one. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. You know how hard it is to have a group of 23 people and have apostle and a pastor and evangelist and a pastor and teacher all in that group? Pretty tough. When 2,000 of them a month are leaving, that's pretty hard. But the Lord planted fivefold leadership in cities for the benefit of the whole church. And so it really is wisdom. It really is right that people would gather together and leaders would gather together because we can get the collective wisdom of God. We really need it. You know, we're facing some pretty serious things. We really are. There are bigger barriers right now. I've been doing this a while. I mean, I got saved 41 years ago. And I became the youth leader of a church. I got saved in March, and I was the leader in August. Those poor kids. It's really crazy. I got a couple of those kids who were in that Sunday school class that are in my church now. They need to get out more probably. But the truth is, the Lord does call people into positions of leadership. He does. And we need each other to help each other, sharpen each other, strengthen each other in positions of leadership. I just know this, that in the hour in which we are in, if we don't have each other, we're not going to do well. And there's craziness in the church. There's all sorts of opinions and suspicions and competitions and all that kind of stuff. It ought not be so. And so we have to recognize there's lots of different local families, lots of different local churches, none of which are without the need of their brothers and sisters and friends. More so now maybe than any time I've ever seen it. I've been walking with the Lord a long time, been in a position of leadership for a long time. And this is true. This is, both things are true at one time. It is so good when we get together. And it's harder to get pastors together than it's ever been. No, I mean, so I'm telling you the truth. I do this too. But because people are so drawn out, strung out, overcommitted, our schedules are, I have a lady that books my life. I don't do anything. My wife books an appointment through her for me. I mean, with me. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. That's the way it works. Well, you know, I don't know if the Lord really intended it to be that way or not. I know this happens with Tim. I'm sure it happens with the rest of you. I wake up some mornings, and I mean so many things to so many different people, it's frightening. I'm not that good. Come on. That's just, none of us are. But we have plug-ins plugged into us from every angle. And you know what? We volunteered to do it. We wouldn't want to do anything else. But that's why we need each other so much. We really do. We need each other in ways that we don't even acknowledge sometimes or don't know until we get together. And so I think it's great. I appreciate you calling people together. Tim said, could you be here? And I said, well, I got to do that. I'll go. So I'm thrilled to be able to be here tonight. I love the fact. I was in St. Joe for a long time and prayed hard and often and long to see things like this come to pass. So I'm really pleased to see that happen. It's like this. We have more barriers, and that requires more bridges. So we've got to give ourselves in fresh ways. We've got to give ourselves. That's just real. I'm going to read you a verse. His words are better than mine, so we'll do that. This is something that's been stirring in me for months. I just can't get it out of my system. And it kind of fits tonight. This is from Ephesians chapter 2. And he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. You know, we're probably all Gentiles in here, I suspect. But the Jews and Gentiles were divided. Well, you know, there's other reasons to be divided other than that. Ethnicity is an issue, you know, across the board. So Paul says this, therefore remember that formerly, you the Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier and the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity. And he came, and I love this, I just love this. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Isn't that cool? We're of God's household. And listen, he said, those of you who feel far away from me, I have a word for you. Peace! Those of you who feel close to me, I have a word for you. Peace. He says the same thing to the one who feels distant as he does to the one who is near, because he's done the breaking down of the walls. So you can feel as far away from him as the moon. And he says, it's peaceful. Come here. Peace by the blood of the cross. You can come. And for those of you who just feel so intimate and close to him at the moment, he says, and you come closer. So no matter where you are tonight or how you feel in your relationship to God or to the person across the room, the Lord has one word. Peace. Peace of God. The peace of God, if you feel near or far. And he speaks it because that barrier is down. And we are God's household. Under one roof, as it were, we are the family of God. And I think he loves the fact that we're out here trying to kick it around tonight. I think he observes when we're together. And this is no game. This is reality. This is real. So, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we want to say thank you that you have but one message to us tonight. And it's the peace that comes by the blood of the cross. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we are all now distinctly one. Well, we may look different on the outside, but on the inside, we are distinctly one, and we all have access to you and consequently to each other through the same Spirit. We are of your household. Isn't it amazing? See the amazing love of God that has been bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. Lord, thank you for the amazing reality of this thing you call the church. It's your bride. It's your beloved. Lord, nothing matters any more to you than the beautiful body of Christ. We want to honor you tonight by blessing you and blessing each other. And we speak to each other now what you have spoken to us. Peace of God to everyone who feels close. Peace of God to everyone who might feel distant. May we be drawn into your heart tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.